So anyway, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we humble ourselves before you, before the word. We thank you for the next couple of minutes. Lord, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the scripture. We know, we believe it is inspired by you, Holy Spirit, to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, and to equip us. So Lord, I give you this next couple of minutes. Use me. Use my mouth, Lord. I pray that you'd take out of me the fear of man, and you would increase in me the fear of God, that I would not speak to appease, but I would speak whatever you lay in my spirit. I prepare, of course, but Holy Spirit, I totally depend on you. I humble myself before you. I know these, your sons and your daughters, they need to hear from you, not from me. You know, sometimes we could come across, you know, I have it. Lord, I don't have it. Jesus, I don't have it. I don't have it. I don't have the answer. I don't have the right words. But you do. You do, Lord. So use this moment to teach us, to draw us closer to you, Lord. Not to just go through emotion. Not to go through, you know, some kind of sermon. You know, sometimes we hear so many sermons. But something happens when you speak. So Lord, speak. Teach us. So I offer you these next couple of minutes. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You know, I was thinking, in heaven, you know, I'm a worship leader. And what makes me a worship leader is what David says in Psalm 27. It says, one thing I seek, only this I, one thing I ask of the Lord, only this I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. And of course, I was going through the Bible and I look for verses. I look for verses where God is asking the people to come before him. There's tons of verses in the Bible. And every time he would, you know, talk to the prophets, Moses, talk to, you know, whoever was in charge at the moment, he would tell the people to prepare themselves to come before him. Not for a sermon. I want you to take your mind there with me. Every time God would get the people ready to come before him, it wasn't necessarily for God to preach a sermon or for the prophet to have a, sometimes the prophet would have a word of the Lord, but most of the time, it was so the people could encounter God. So the focus to come before God was never about a sermon. It was always about to encounter the Shekinah glory of God. That's one of the reasons me as a worship leader, I create an atmosphere in worship that the Shekinah glory of God can come and minister to hearts that are open. Because believe me, God is here. And if you're looking for him, you will find him. If you come desperate enough, you will find him. You know, so I pray that we would continue to encounter his glory. You know, I was thinking this week, I'm like, okay, I felt the little push in my heart to continue with what I've been talking about, living in Christ. The realities that are in Christ. What does it look like? I believe the past Easter month, last month was Easter, I felt like I got a new revelation of the resurrection. You know, it's like we always want to, this week I was reading, we want to identify with the cross, right? We want to identify with resurrection. The more I identify with resurrection, the more I identify with the cross, the more I will identify with Christ living. Let me tell you again. You don't get it. I should have had somebody say, amen, man. Come on, be my cheerleader. That's right. Be my cheerleaders. I need those cheerleaders, you know? If say amen. Say amen. Seriously. Because this, listen to what it says in John chapter 10, verse 10 from the NIV. It says, the thief comes only to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is from the NIV. Let's read it again. It's on the screen. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus is saying, I have come that they may have life and they have it to what? You know what full means? It means you have so much. Come on, help me out. Flowing over. I have so much life that I can't help but to let it spill. So everywhere I go, guess what? I'm a life giver. Come on, look at your neighbor. Help me out. Say you're the life giver. Look at somebody else. Laji, come on. You're a life giver, girl. You're a life giver. You know, we're prophesying over each other. You are a life giver. Why? That's right. You know? Because we are identifying with the cross. We are identifying with the resurrection. So therefore, we get to identify with Christ living. That's a basic principle of the gospel. Man, I'm like, since Easter, I've been kind of more excited about the cross. I'm like, man, I'm alive. And we're not going to go there. If you go and read Ephesians, it says we're sitting at the right hand of Father. With who? With Christ. The thief comes to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I tell you, Satan won't give you any chance. He wants to steal. And let's enumerate some of the things he wants to steal. He wants to steal your marriage, if you're married. He wants to steal your joy. Oh, he wants to steal your heart. Oh, he wants to steal your eternal life. Help me, Pam. What else?
Your mind.
Heart and soul. Your mind. Your peace.
Your happiness.
He wants to steal your vision. Hallelujah. That's a good one. And then what else? I'm looking for something else. Finances. Hallelujah. That's good. Satan wants you to be poor. He wants to destroy your life. Overall, he wants to destroy your life. Spiritually, emotionally. He wants to steal your health. Are you letting him stealing your health? You know, sometimes there are certain things you can't pray for. I could pray for good health. But if I'm not taking care of my God's temple, if I'm eating junk, not exercising, I realized back in the days when I used to be younger, it didn't matter, you know, I didn't have to fight with not staying healthy. But as I'm getting wiser, some people would say older, doesn't matter. But as I'm getting older, wiser, I have to be intentional about not letting the devil stealing my health. The enemy wants to come. He comes to steal. He wants to steal my health. He wants to steal your potential intellect. You know, I mean, we have a phone. We are on the internet all the time. Why don't we go online and learn things? As long as we living, we still can be learning things. I'm still learning. Now let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 8 to 9, to 14 from the NIV. It says, now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Let's read that again. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Verse 8, it says, now, if we died with Christ, we do what? We believe. Anybody believe this? I believe, man. I believe that I'm dead in Christ. So what's happening with me? I get to live. I get to live. Wow. Now you'll understand last week when Paul was saying from Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, it's not I that lives anymore. It's he who lives in me. Can you offend a dead person? You know, last week I went to God, I went to the Holy Spirit, spending time with the Lord. I said, Lord, I guess of course, as long as I'm breathing, dying to self, killing the flesh is an ongoing process. Until we see Jesus, killing the flesh, killing your selfishness is an ongoing process. Don't let anybody fool you, making you think they're in heaven. As if you can see them down here, they're not in heaven yet. We need to work our salvation with fear and trembling. With the fear of God and trembling. Man, I don't want anything in my life. I don't want to give, I should say, I don't want to give the enemy any open doors. So whatever doors open, I'm closing them. So I can live in God, live in Christ. Put the verse back on there. It says, now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Verse 9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has majesty over him. Verse 10. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, verse 11, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness. Come on, guys. I hope this is so clear. There's nothing more I must add to this. You know, that's why I remember there was a guy who used to live in the world, and he used to, Haiti, I know here, it's people still do it, but in Haiti, they had clubs, like prostitute clubs. You could go to prostitute. I mean, it wasn't illegal or anything like that. People would go there and do crazy things. So this guy encountered Jesus, and of course, you know, met the Holy Spirit, gave his life to the Lord, and he's changing, you know, changing from glory to glory. And one day, he finds himself at a weak part. And his mind wants to take him back to that club. And he was saying it. This verse kind of saved him. Because he finds himself walking there towards the club. And all of a sudden, he was having this conversation with himself. Thinking, well, if I'm dead with Christ, that means this physical body is dead to sin. So these feet are Jesus' feet. So therefore, would Jesus' feet be walking towards prostitution club? Would it? So he's thinking, he's like, no, first of all, Jesus wouldn't do that. I mean, it's like he's literally taking the word for what it says. My brothers and sisters, I struggle to live a life of obedience when I stop surrender. Accept what the word says, surrender to it, obey it. In surrender, we find peace. In surrender, we find joy. You know, that's why people think, well, the gospel is a hard. I mean, I tell you, once you're dead to yourself, the gospel is very easy. Because now you don't live for yourself. You live for Christ. And Jesus says, the commandment I give you, they're not burdensome. The Lord's commandment, they're not there to crush you, to kill you. No. It's the enemy that does that. Satan comes. You know, I mean, we see it in the world. We see how the world elevates. You know, when someone is doing good, they're doing well financially with their fame. And then something happens. They can't perform anymore. What does the world do? Spit them out. Mm-hmm. You know, Haiti is a very there's a lot of demonic oppression. There's a lot of demonic oppression here too. But in Haiti, it's very appealing. You can see it because people are open, their emotion, they're very in touch with their emotion. So there is on Halloween, which is in November, people would worship the dead. That's why I always tell you here, you go against the spirit of Halloween because that's witchcraft. You come against it, you don't participate in it, you do nothing. I mean, you celebrate fall, change of season, sure. But when it comes to Halloween, Halloween is a season for you to intercede for your community. I've seen it. So there's one spirit called Oguferai, which you guys from Haiti, you would know what I'm talking about. Oguferai is a spirit, it's a dead spirit, it's a witchcraft spirit that people would worship the dead, and then somebody would be possessed with that spirit. And that spirit would take them up a tree. Or that spirit would take them and climb an electric pole. Just think about it. It's like they're possessed with demon. The demon caused them to climb an electric pole. So once you climb an electric pole, what's going to happen? And we have seen suicide. And we've seen thousands of people dying like that because they opened themselves to the spirit of death. Verse 13, verse 11, I'm going to read verse 11 again. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Last week I told you, Ricardo must die. You must drag. Larry said that too today. You must drag. Listen, you must treat. Paul said it too. He said, I treat myself hard. That when I'm done preaching the gospel, people don't discard me. And you see so many preachers, they're up here preaching to you. But behind doors, they're watching pornography. At home, they're mean to their wives. You see, not only preachers, it could be worship leaders, everybody here that plays in the worship team, the ushers, because sometimes in church we put a lot of emphasis on people up front. Do you know even people behind the camera, they're ministers? Did you know that? Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you did. So we must protect our private life. Because your reputation is who you are in public. Your ethic and character is the person you are when nobody sees you. And God calls us to be people of integrity. We must reflect living in Christ, the reality that are in Christ. We must reflect the character of Christ. Verse 13, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument to wickedness. Now, there's one part I want to touch. Just our eyes. I like what it says in the NIV. It says, do not offer. I mentioned last week, even with things we entertain ourselves. Well, let's choose another part. How about our ears? What kind of music do we listen to? Is the music we listen to, are they God-fearing? Are the music gratifying your flesh? Now, I'm not talking about religion, being religious. Oh, I don't listen to. No, that's not what I'm saying. But is your radar? Are you living by the Holy Spirit? Are you sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit? So when you see a movie, when you're watching, I mean, it happens to me. Sometimes I watch previews for 45 minutes. After a while, I'm like, there's nothing to watch. Because I'm not going to be playing a movie. I want to know what it's about. Because even after entertaining myself with a movie, I want to feel like, oh, that was good. There's no way I want to be like, oh, Lord, please forgive. No, it says, verse 13, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. You see, now you'll understand. If you are living in Christ, you're dead to the world. When the world looks at you, of course they're going to see the difference. And you, when you look at the world, you're going to realize, you know what, that this is, I live in this world, but I don't carry the spirit of the world. I cannot take part of this. And I'm going to go a little further. If you are very intimate with the Holy Spirit, it might be very difficult to have an unbelieving close friend. Your best friend cannot be someone. It's going to be impossible for your best buddy to be someone who hates God, despises the church. You know, and we see this in the church. In the name of love, of tolerance, you go to every wild parties that your friends invite you. Would they come to a family feast if you invite them? I bet you not. Now, we're not saying to be mean. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living in Christ. Is your life living in Christ? And I'm going to get to that word, magnifying. Magnify. Is your life magnifying with Christ? I mean, your life. Let's just go to those. I'll come back to that verse. Let me finish the verse, and then we'll go to those points. Let me finish this verse. Verse 13. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And the reason why, when you do this, when you apply this in your life, you live a blessed life. I'm so blessed. Hallelujah, I'm blessed. I mean, you could sing this song for January to next January. But unless you're obeying the word of the Lord, you're not blessed. What makes you a blessed person is when you obey the word of the Lord. Then yeah, trouble knocking at my door today, I'm not going to let it in. Why? Because I'm so blessed. I have the favor of the Lord. When we live like this, you are favored. Favored, highly favored. Beloved, highly favored. You walk in the favor of the Lord. Man, I walk in the favor of the Lord. Every move I make, every step I take, everywhere I go, everything I touch, I expect, it's like I bring, you bring yourself like this. You start walking. Don't stop walking like losers. You're not losers. You are a winner. Look at your neighbor, say, you're a winner. Remember that. Remember that. And you know what makes you a winner? It's because you are identified with the life of Christ. That's what a true Christian is about. You are a winner. Oh man, this is just a word. Verse 14, it says, for sin shall no longer be your master because you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, from this verse, somebody could ask themselves, what is grace? What is grace? Amazing grace, how sweet this. You know, people, well, you know, God is grace. God is love. Let's go to Titus. I believe this verse in Titus really describes grace. That's one definition I really love about in Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 15. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. So we are saved by grace. There's nothing you can do. So stop putting your trust in your dead works. There's nothing we can do to earn God's grace. Stop judging other people. Stop thinking you got it. We don't have it. I'm not a good teacher. I'm not a good preacher. I'm not good at anything. The only thing I acknowledge is Jesus. Man, but for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the grace, what would I do? If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't even have a good marriage. I was reading this morning, I told you, I miss my wife. So we write each other letters. So this morning, I went and find a letter she wrote me. Because I'm missing my woman, my friend. In the letter, she was going back and telling me, she was telling a story. It's a long letter. And she said something. Thank you for always say yes to the Holy Spirit. When we started, we didn't have what we have now. She actually wrote me the letter in February when we went to the marriage seminar. They wanted us to write each other a letter. And then I got to think, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would probably not have a good marriage. I would have a bunch of kids out there. I wouldn't serve the God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would probably be dead physically. Being reckless. So, thank God for his grace. But it says, verse 11, for the grace of God appears to save us. Thank God for the grace. Verse 12, it says, the grace, teaches us to do what? So, grace is not a license to be like, man, I'm so loved. But grace is the ability by the Holy Spirit. Now you have, you like, you know what? Well, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to curse. Grace is the ability that God gives you through the Holy Spirit. You understand the cross. You're like, man, I'm free. I mean, just imagine someone who is in bondage. Under the spirit of addiction. It could be eating addiction. That's why if you are struggling with eating addiction, the best way to get rid of it is fast. Just say, you know, call us. Found an accountability partner. Somebody's like, you know, I want to go 12 hours without eating because I'm always hungry and it's not good for me. You know, that's a spirit, gluttony. It's a spirit. To kill, steal, and destroy your health. So the grace teaches us to say no to what? Ungodliness and worldly passion. And to live a self-control life. Upright, godly lives in this present age. Hallelujah. Man, I'm like, man, I love grace. And I want you to start seeing grace different today. Because the grace of God enables you to say no to unrighteousness, ungodliness, worldly passion, and to live a self-controlled life. Upright and godly lives in this present age. And we know we live in an anti-Christian age. And before the day of the Lord, the closer the day of the Lord gets, the worse it's going to get. Oh, I pray that you would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to be bold. Do not shy about who you are in Christ. I love Jesus. I love the gospel. I'm a Christian. You know? Stop identifying yourself as American, Haitian, Colombian, Mexican, Puerto Rican. Start identifying yourself as citizens of heaven. Thank God for my citizenship in heaven. Oh! Because, I mean, even if you present yourself as a Christian, somebody else might have a different definition for Christian. You present yourself as a citizen of heaven. Verse 14. Verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his own people, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. That's my verse. Paul's telling me, he was telling Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor. And he was telling Timothy, these are the things you must teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Oh, I'm not going to let anyone despise me when it comes to this truth. And I'm going to treat myself hard. That after I tell you these things, I don't become discarded. I don't get discarded. Or, you know, it's like I want my life to be in line with this. I'm going to tell you, hey, this is what I'm doing. And look at my life. Look at the fruit. Jesus is pruning. He's pruning tell you, I said it here before. Last year, the way my walk with the Lord from last year is better. My relationship with my son from last year is better. My relationship with my wife from last year is better. My relationship with my neighbor is better. Listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. So there's one of them. I'm still looking for an opportunity. So a couple weeks ago, I'm outside. You know, I was doing something, cleaning. And then I saw he was working on a vehicle. My mind told me, could be the Holy Spirit. I sensed to just go over there. Normally, I'm like, this guy's always grumpy, you know, just leave him in his corner. And once in a while, he'll say hi, but I'll say hi, he doesn't care. But I just felt like I needed to go over. But I'm like, man, if I go over, it's going to be awkward because we never kind of do anything. But I felt like I need to go. So, of course, I obeyed the urge, and I went over. I said, hey, man, how you doing? What are you working at? Oh, he's like, you know, this car, there's a leak. It's overheating. It was an old Toyota RAV4 1997. I had three of those. So, okay, I said, so what have you done? Have you done this? Have you done that? Have you done that? It's like, he's not mechanic, so he's just trying. He's like, yeah, tomorrow morning I'm going to get it towed and stuff. I said, no, you don't need to get it towed. I said, I think we can fix it. I already see the problem. It was the outlet of the engine from the radiator that had a hole. Because I said, start it, and I saw the water coming through. And being a plumber, I'm like, yeah, I work with hoses. Guys, I came alive serving the guy. I had all the tools. I even had a clamp. I mean, the guy, I know it was fixed. He's like, he filled it up. He went on 168, drove it for 20 minutes. Man, the guy sent me this big, beautiful text. And I tell you, since then, I sense there's a more intentionality about him. Kind of, when I'm out there, he, hey, man, hey, dude. Yeah, hey, dude. Yeah. Amen. You know, so even though if you might have a neighbor that's not neighborly. But remember, like I said, you have something to offer them. They don't. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 to 26. Paul says, for I fully accept, and I'm going to read from the NLT this time. For I fully accept, expect, and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past. I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ. And dying is even better. Verse 22, but if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't really know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sake, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you to grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, I will have enough, even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he has done through me. See, living for Christ, living in Christ signifies a profound union with Jesus, where his life and principles guides every aspect of your existence. Living a life in Christ signifies a profound union with Christ, where Christ's life, Christ's principles guides everything you do. So everything you do it by Christ's principle. Even when it comes to life, managing life relationship. Love the unlovable. You have that one person in your family, it's like you wish you could chop their heads off. Because they're just weird. But they might think you are weird. But in reality, you can't do that. I like this. You're going to love them through because of the principle of Christ. And I want to add these four things. I might come back. I'm just going to give you, I'll come back, not next week, but the week after to finish this. But I want to put on the screen the four keys, the four aspects of living in Christ. The number one is spiritual transformation. Believers are considered to be born spiritually, with Christ dwelling within you through the Holy Spirit. You're born again by the Holy Spirit, so you transform. There's another common verse. I put that on our Facebook this week. I was meditating on that verse. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if anyone is enfolded in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, that person becomes a new creation. The old is gone. There it is. Here's the new me. And I'll tell you a story. I remember when I was growing up in our church, I was a leader. So I was a cell leader and also a worship leader. But Ricardo was very much alive. I wasn't kind. And now looking back, I realize, man, I thought I was good. But man, looking back now, I'm like, man, Jesus, there's a lot more work that needed to be done in me. So I was very short with people. I mean, guys, I mean, ask Kendra. Maybe someday she'll tell you the details. Jesus really changed me. I used to be a mean person. I did not like people. Yeah. Of course I met Jesus, and then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I gotta love people. You know? So Jesus is working with me, you know, little bit by little bit. You know, I'm getting to be like him, but there are times I have no patience. And when I have no patience, man, I coupe cloue, cut and dry. And then people kind of knew me at the church, in the church like that. Even though I'd be up there with my guitar, I pour my heart, but somebody rubbed me the wrong way, man. I had a temper. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. That's why I know the Jesus I'm talking about. He can change you if you give him room. The Holy Spirit can give you a whole new personality. Because the person I am, and I thank God because I'm growing from glory to glory. I mean, I'm changing even my kids. They can testify. My own self. I'm like, you know what? I really like the person I'm becoming. Because I'm becoming more like Christ. And I have more peace. So therefore, in 2004, there was a big unrest in Haiti. And I felt like, Kendra had to leave with the kids. We had two kids at the time. And I had a visa. So therefore, I'm like, all right, send them to Florida. And because Florida was our base. And then I'll come later. 3 months later, I came. I'm like, all right, well, now what do I do? You know, I have visa. I can't work and stuff. So I apply for a residency. 6 months later, I got my residency. Okay, so I'm like, okay, well, that's when I started learning plumbing. I like it here. So I'm not going back. So I started life in Florida. I met Jesus at a whole nother level in Florida at Restoration Church. Remember, I told you 7 years in my marriage, I kind of rededicate my life to Kendra because I realized, man, those first 7 years, I was terrible. I was a bad husband, terrible, selfish dude. I'm like, no, I want to do it right. So call my pastors, call some people. I repent, confess my sin, and then we married on a Sunday morning. So Jesus is taking me to a new level. He's changing me. That was 2005. 5 years later, I went back to Haiti as a missionary. The problem is, people that used to know me back in 2003, 2004, before I left, they still saw me as the same Ricardo. Man, they judge me. As a matter of fact, some of them said, you're not qualified to be a pastor. Because I went to Haiti to be a missionary pastor. Some of them, a lot of them resisted me. I never proved myself. There is one thing God showed, taught me. I can't even remember who said that. But it is one quote that always stuck with me. You have nothing to prove, and you have no one to impress. Amen. You know, if you're trying to prove something, you're in the wrong. If you're trying to impress people, the real you will reveal itself. And I find peace in that I don't have to prove anything. Yeah, people, yeah, they're judging me from what used to be. But I'm not the same anymore. I don't have to be like, guys, I'm not the same anymore. I don't have to tell them what God has done in my life in the past 5 years. I don't even have to say that. Thank God the Holy Spirit opened up my eyes. He said, just be the new you. Just be the new you. Is it painful? Yes, it is painful. Because you want them to experience the new you. But they can't see the new you because every time they see you, they identify you as the old you. But the old you is dead. It's the new you that's being enfolded. That's why I love this world. It's like if anyone is in Christ, that person becomes a new creation. You're being transformed. You're being transformed on a daily basis. And then I'll come back to these, but let me give you the second one. The second one is unity and fellowship. You know, a key aspect of living in Christ is unity. So you protect the unity of the body. So therefore, if this is your church, you plug in. I'm so thankful that here in our church, we are a family. So everybody has responsibility. You have things to offer. I want everybody to do something. I want you to serve somewhere, even if it's once a year. I want you to serve, find some, talk to us, talk to the leaders. You know, let's get you involved, get plugged in. Protect the unity. Right? So you invest. When someone is living in Christ, they protect the unity. So if what we're doing here, you sense it's not for you, don't have a cow. Do not have a cow, please. I had to go and learn that, what that means. Because one time, give you a story. One time I'm like, this guy's been talking, don't have a cow. I'm like, what does that mean, don't have a cow? So I went and learned it. I'm using that today. Do not have a cow. Go and find another community where you feel like this is where you belong. Because if you can't contribute to unity, you are doing the work of the devil. You know, if this is your church, if this is your family, don't come here with a contrary spirit, judgmental spirit. If this is not for you, well, you know, we bless you. We don't want to fight. But listen, I don't want to fight. You know, I'm not here to protect any pulpit. It's Jesus' pulpit. You know, I don't want to fight, but I'll put a fight. I'll clear up the temple, right? I'll use Jesus' holy anger to do what must be done. Oh, I will. But at the same time, I know this is one of the key. Being in Christ also implies in relationship with one another. Don't live by yourself. Do not isolate yourself. Don't be like, I've done this, we need singers. We need, if you can carry a tune, well, I'll test you first, but come help. You know? Because some people think they can sing, they're just joyful noises. You know? But, you know, just to say this, you know, humility protect the unity. The other thing also, number three, is mutual support. We are called to care for one another. You know, like my sister is going through some tough things, stuff with her mother. We sympathize. You know, it's like your pain is my pain. It's like church people, they lost this. But we're not church people, we're kingdom people. It's like your pain is my pain. I care for you. Because you are filled with Christ's compassion. I am filled with Christ's compassion. When you hurt, I hurt. You know, so don't cut me away. Don't, well, if you want to do, sure. But that's, understand what you're doing. What you're doing. When you do that, you're not living in Christ. One of the key aspects of living in Christ is mutual support. I support you. You know, for example, Kendra was talking about, you know, some of you, we have a counselor in our midst. We've got spiritual directors, you know, people that, plumbers, contractors, you know, so electricians. So we support one another. So if you need a plumber, why look elsewhere? But don't just hire me as your pastor. When you hire me, pay me. You know? Because I can serve you as your pastor. You know, like Dave, man, hats off. We'll keep that story for another day. Dave saved me the other day. You know? But you see what I'm saying? It's like if you offer a service, it's to my advantage to hire Larry to build my deck because he's my brother. Then I can support him. You see that mindset? That's a kingdom mindset. And number four, living a life that magnifies Christ. And I'm going to stop right there because there's so much in those to come back to. So, what would be your answer today to this? I like this. It says, not everything is a demon. You can't cast out the flesh. Some fight we fight needs deliverance. Don't really need deliverance. They need discipline. Deliverance won't fix what obedience is meant to kill. Crucifying your flesh every single day is a must. The more we identify with the cross, the more we will experience Christ's life. Isn't this the good news? Huh? I'm like, God, thank you for your good news. Father, thank you for this, for your good news this morning. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, what would be your answer? What would be your response this morning to this word, these words? Do you need prayer? You know, I encourage you to not let, you know, we have our services online for evangelistic purposes, and some of our brothers and sisters who are not able to join us. But don't let the cameras intimidate you to, you know, steal your intimacy with the Lord. You know, if you need to come to the altar, you do that. You know, these are the days of Moses, of Elijah, of Ezekiel. You know, where the dry bones, they become alive. I believe this is the year that God wants you, each of us, to experience a level of intimacy with the Holy Spirit that is just revolutionizing. You know, when it comes to prosperity, being prosperous, like we start with John chapter 10. Jesus came so you and I could have life to its fullness. To its fullness that we have so much for us, but also for others. So what would be your response to the word of the Lord? If you need prayer, you know, I'm going to ask, maybe it was Dan. Dan, come play something for me. You know, just to create, let's take a couple minutes. Are you in Christ? You know? Are you a Christian? You know, if you're watching online now or later and you're hearing these words, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Come to Jesus, come to the Lord. Thank you, Father. make myself available, and I'll ask Betty and Amy to make themselves available as well. If any of you guys want prayer, and possibly Robert too, if anybody needs prayer, let's give an answer to the word of the Lord this morning. Maybe you're here and you just want, you want your life to identify with the cross, with the life of Christ. I invite you to come to the cross, come to the altar, come forward. And that's just your desire. You're like, you know what? I just want more. And by coming forward, it's just you coming in, you know. So many times people come to Jesus, they're blind. Jesus is like, well, what do you want me to do for you? So it's like Jesus wants their own confession. That's pretty much the opportunity I'm giving each of you here. If you feel like you are at a place to make a confession, you know, we have people willing to pray for you, pray with you, to see a breakthrough in your life, to see the aspect, just the some of the four aspects we talked about. So yeah, let's take a couple more minutes and give a response to the word of the Lord. Are you stuck and you need a breakthrough? Maybe it's just need a decision. But we want to stand with you. We want to stand by you to see that happening in your life. Thank you. pray that again one more time.
Just as I am without one plea, and blood was shed.
Let's stand.
And thy peace come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's say that again, just as I.
Just as I am with one plea, thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee.
Aaron, come up here. Let's pray a blessing and a benediction.
Lord, I just thank you this morning, Father, just for your word. Just what you spoke to us today, Father. Lord, I just pray that as we go forth today, throughout this week, Father, you just continue to protect us, Lord. Guide us every day, Lord. Father, I know you protected me this last week on the road, Father. I just pray that you continue to send your angels of protection around us, Lord. Keep us focused on you, Father, every day, Lord. Keep our spirits in focus with yours, Lord. Father, I just pray you go before us this week, today, Father. Just be with us and let us focus on you, Father, every day. We ask in your name, Lord.